and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free from anywhere. A big, big show. David Schuster. He's just such a crush of mine. David Schuster joins us next hour to update us on Madison and much more. Kathleen Madigan, one of our very personal favorite comedians, and much more. StephanieMiller.com, the website, ustream.tv/StephanieMiller. Looky, you can see us.
That's right.
Okay.
You can see us, hear us, and chat with
listeners.
That was
actually my tooth glistening.
Yes. And that's where the chat room is. Mm-hmm. Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Check it out. All right. So another big show. We go right out of the box with, I know it sounds like everyone's my favorite, but I only really mean it when I say it to Richard Wolff, MSNBC journalist extraordinaire, author of Renegade Making of a President and the latest revival, The Struggle for Survival Inside the Obama White House. Good morning, Richard.
You can breathe now. Yes, good morning.
I'm just going to get that drop. Buy my book from The Simpsons, but they are fabulous books, both of them.
Thank you.
So where
Not
do we...
Not as good as David Schuster's, I know, but it's okay.
I didn't mean to blurt his name out while I'm with you.
Oh, whatever.
So where do we start? I love when even Rush Limbaugh is able to admit, you know, this Republican field is pretty weak this year for the presidential race. What do you think?
I think Rush Limbaugh admits an awful lot. Not all of it makes sense, but in this case, it does make sense because they've got an uninspired field, and that is a temporary phenomenon. I think there are going to be other people who will step in because there's a desire to be outrageous. The competition is going to be all about who can beat up the president the most, who can be the most extreme, grab the biggest headlines, right. And for now, everyone's trying to line up donors. You know, one of the interesting stories that has emerged in the last few days is something we expected, which is our old friend Karl Rove trying to raise $120 million for his little operation. Now, you may say, oh, my goodness, what's he going to do with all that money? But if you're in the field or considering running against the president, you have now got to try and go up to the same donors Karl Rove is going to and say, hey, how about giving some money to me? And they're going to go, well, I can give it to Karl Rove, who has got his track record, or I can give it to you. What Karl Rove is doing is competing with presidential candidates and driving people out of the field, and nobody seems to be saying anything about it because they're all so scared of him. There is a depressing factor that I guess we should be grateful to Karl Rove for doing here, because maybe he's weeding out some people, maybe he's testing people, but that tells you the kind of ego he has in all of this, and that is the real factor here right now. If you're a candidate, your first test is not really going to be about the polls. It's, can I raise the money? And that means going to the same 20, 30, 40 extremely wealthy conservative activist people and saying, will you go for me? Don't go for Romney. Forget about Palin and don't think about Karl Rove. That's a tough sell right now for any of these people. So this is a kind of phony war. Don't believe any of this stuff.
Well, as I say, you know, I brought up Limbaugh, but also George Will, as you know. You know, just what did he call Huckabee? I mean, Gingrich, careless and delusional. He declared neither have a shot at winning the presidency, much less gaining the public's trust to run a lemonade stand. I mean, that's pretty tough words from a Republican, right?
It is tough words. And remember, you know, George Will's big thing is about deficits and about smaller government, and that's really where all of these guys have been for the last couple of years. It's not like any of them are proposing George W. Bush-style spending, and even he is saying these people are not true conservatives or they're not competent. There's just a basic problem that they have, never mind about our enjoyment, but going forward, if they run, this is golden material for the president's Oppo research people. I mean, you know, how could you fail to use this stuff? Even, I don't even remember in 2004, I covered the Dean campaign and the Kerry campaign in 2004, I don't remember people saying that bad stuff about about the Democratic field this early on. I mean, well, people had their criticism all the way through about the various candidates.
I mean, Will,
this is early.
It's interesting. Will said even the, you know, who he thinks might be a credible candidate, the nominee may emerge much diminished by involvement in a process cluttered with careless, delusional, egomaniacal, spotlight-chasing candidates whom the sensible American majority would never entrust a lemonade stand, much less nuclear weapons. And then you have Newt Gingrich on Q coming out yesterday and saying we need to bomb Libya. We need to basically, we need to go to war with Libya. Meet it tonight.
This is a guy who could barely execute his own rollout last week, and he wants to execute another foreign war. I mean, you know, it's as if they've got no understanding of, by the way, no understanding of what their own voters, never mind the general population, what their own voters' experience is, what their priority is. They come into the midterm saying it's all about jobs. The president hasn't listened to us about jobs. We won the House back because of jobs. And what do? Go after collective bargaining, and they want to have another war in the Muslim world. You know, it's as if they have instant amnesia. These are goldfish candidates.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And as you know,
I forgot they were there.
And as you know, the president, pretty good at politics. I love the big bear hugs he's given Mitt Romney and Huntsman recently. He's like, boy, I sure do like that Mitt Romney's health care plan, which we based our plan on, and also that Ambassador Huntsman has been a great asset to the Obama administration.
Yeah, but you're being unkind to Mitt Romney. When he supported health care, he only envisaged it for the good people of Massachusetts. And any attempt to expand it to anyone else is completely counter to what he had. It's wonderful seeing him pretzel himself again, because, you know, his basic problem is he believable? And he is, I actually have respect for John Kerry, but he is in deep peril of being John Kerry much earlier than Kerry was in the 2004 campaign. Because, you know, the abortion, health care, he should just say, you know what, I think it's a good idea, they haven't done it the right way, but this is who I am. Just embrace who you are instead of trying to pretend you're something else.
And the last thing on the 2012 race I wanted to ask is, what I find particularly hilarious is now you have candidates who have no chance of winning sniping at candidates who saying they aren't running. You had Sarah Palin criticizing Chris Christie, I guess just out of a jealous pique or something, right?
Well, maybe they're jockeying for 2016. I mean, it is interesting seeing how desperate people are for Chris Christie or some other savior. You know, could it be Rubio? Could it be anyone? Please save us from ourselves. But the truth is, if you are Chris Christie, why not wait another 4 years and the field will be wide open?
Right. What do you make of this thermometer poll, the Quinnipiac? Does that mean anything?
No.
Of course, you know, voters rank Sarah Palin at the bottom, of course.
It doesn't mean anything. And you know what? Here's the other thing. It doesn't mean anything to primary voters, especially early caucus and primary voters. If it did, then Barack Obama would not be president. That's exactly the argument the Clinton people made for months, if not years, against him. He was down in the polls. The national polls weren't working. He was losing in the head-to-heads. And you know what? People in Iowa didn't give a crap. And that's going to be the same dynamic for Republicans right now. Anyone who says, well, Sarah Palin shouldn't run because her numbers are so bad, it doesn't convince anyone, because if you are the delusional candidate or you are an early state voter, you think, yeah, but look what happened 4 years ago. Anything can happen. Once you win something somewhere, all those polls change overnight. So meaningless now, meaningless for the candidates, meaningless as a measure of what the early states will do.
So let's turn to Washington for a minute. What's going on today? And you know, this is often the curious logic in Washington. The Senate's expected to vote down the big, huge GOP budget slashing bill and the less painful Democratic one as well.
Right. Right. Yes. Everyone hates each other. It's mystifying to real people why there's this. This terrible fight over last year's budget, when we're already through spending for the year about halfway, and it's an argument about nothing, and we haven't even got to next year's budget or the debt ceiling or any of this stuff. I do think that there is work going on behind the scenes to come up with an overall package deal where there'll be some cuts they can agree to and just get this off the table, because you're looking at 80%. The only number that really matters is that 80% of people polled say they don't want the government to shut down. And if you're not going to go down the shutdown route, nobody wants it to happen.
Oh.
You've got to have a deal.
Well, except for Dick Morris, who is generally always wrong about everything. He wrote that piece about the shutdown plan. based on, he thinks it's, as Charlie Sheen would say, winning to cut Medicare and basically everything that people really do care about not being cut. He's advising the Republicans to slash it all.
Yeah, Dick Morris wrote some columns in 2008 saying the president couldn't win because he was too black, and then he couldn't win because he was too white.
Yes, and it didn't matter because we knew the race was going to be between Condi Rice and Hillary Clinton anyway.
Right, exactly. So, and I'm pretty sure he thought that George Bush would invade Iran too. So, you know, Dick Morris has many qualities. I just can't think of them right now. God bless him. Yes, shutting down the government is a great idea. It's just that only 20% of the population agrees with him, and half of those also believe in UFOs.
All right, Richard. Before you go, quickly, the McCarthy hearing. Oh, I'm sorry. The Peter King hearings that will be starting tomorrow. The prove to us you're not a Muslim terrorist hearings.
Right.
How do you think that's going to play out?
From the man who loves the IRA.
Yes, exactly. Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. And, you know, as someone, as you can tell from my accent, having grown up in Texas all these years, I am astonished at that man's hypocrisy. He hates terrorists so much that he actually literally pals around with them.
Yep. Yeah.
So, I'm looking forward to his hearings on are Catholic Americans really more loyal to Rome than they are to Washington. it's nonsense. It does, you know, if you can step back from the ridiculousness of it and the whole baiting aspect of it, it does surprise me that this many years after 9/11, when, by the way, we haven't actually prosecuted any of the people responsible for it, another discussion, but that just tells you how much time this has been languishing on.
Yep.
The politics of this have got worse. The stereotyping, the racist aspects of it have just got worse, not better, even as people, frankly, are less threatened in their daily lives, at least according to polls. They're less threatened by terrorism and the fears of terrorism on the mainland. And so I think it's just a bit desperate. You can almost understand this, you know, 2002, 2003, but now, 10 years on, it just seems... It seems weird and pathetic.
Yeah.
It's sad.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Richard, we look forward to having you back in our Prove to Us That's a Real British Accent and You're Not Faking It hearings that we'll be having next week on the show.
Any day David chooses to come to it, I'll be back.
Right. Richard Wolff of MSNBC and author extraordinaire. Thank you, Richard. Talk to you soon.
Thank you.
All right,
Hooray.
There you go. Oh, sure. Sure, that's a real British accent. Whatever. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That is so cool. What is it?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
What? I don't even know what that means. David in Washington State, 23 minutes after the hour.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning, honey.
Good morning, you guys.
Good morning.
Really quick, Peter King of New York, this trial, this show trial that he wants to do is a totally political stunt. It's showboating because he's so attractive to look at. And the Republican Party have nothing. All they have is they used to play the Osama bin Laden card. Now they don't play his name. They don't throw his name around anymore. How curious.
Yeah.
So now they're going to do is just broad brush, you know, and cause trouble, stir up trouble with the Muslim community.
Now, yeah, right, David. Now it's no one specific. Just every Muslim's a terrorist. It's not because now we can't find Osama. Yeah, exactly.
What a ass clown.
Thank
yes.
you.
Thank you.
Ass clown. Good one. Yeah. Combining ass hat with.
I think Peter King is the worst kind of racist.
Yeah.
These hearings are so horribly racist, especially when Peter King supported the bombings and terrorist activities of the IRA in the 80s.
That's different. Those are white people.
Exactly. That's why he's the worst kind of racist.
They have a beautiful lilting accent. That's different. It's free of melanin.
Yeah.
All right. In fact...
No, it's Peter King thinking that people of his own kind can't possibly be bad when they blow things up.
By the way, did you see this? What's her name? Pulled back the racist curtain. What's her name? The crazy radical Islamophobe activist Bridget Gabriel?
And
that
she's
woman?
With...
She's with her own crazy little, I don't know. She's one of these, you know, crazy Islamophobes.
Yeah.
Anyway, she so he starts these hearings tomorrow. He has promoted his hearings in the media with inflammatory rhetoric, declaring there are too many mosques in the country. It's entirely too mosque-y.
Yeah.
Founders didn't mean that kind of freedom of religion. And that Muslims aren't American when it comes to war. This woman, Bridget Gabriel, they just ran into her at the CPAC. Pushed a campaign of excluding Muslims from public office. She has blocking construction of mosques, legislating bans on communities practicing Sharia. You know, they're getting rid of that non-existent threat of Sharia law.
Yeah.
That's sweeping the nation. Anyway, she told Think Progress that King intentionally avoided hosting well-known anti-Muslim activists like herself or any Robert Spencer, any of the other crazies.
Pamela Geller.
Yes, that yes. one that I've been on Joy Behar with. Woo!
Yeah, she's a racist in the Peter King vein.
With pinwheels, with nipple tassels. Crazy with nipple tassels, that's what she is. Do you know what sometimes when I'm on with the extra crazy right wing?
Yeah.
That's what I sort of picture in my mind. Just motorized spinning nipple tassels. Just woo! Yeah.
I just demonstrated for the people on Ustream.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Oh, thanks. I did that too.
Yes.
I did that on Ustream. You could see I put my fingers where the nipple tassels would be. Just to give kids on Ustream a little something extra this morning. Anyway, she said King has decided to use Muslim witnesses because the media can't attack the Muslim messenger. See how he's clever like that? She also declared that Glenn Beck is right recently about his theory that pro-democracy protests in the Middle East and Egypt are part of a Muslim Brotherhood conspiracy to create a global caliphate. Woo! That's what Glenn Beck needs to top himself. He needs motorized nipple tassels for his next crazy conspiracy theory show.
He's not there this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Is he somewhere where he can rest?
I don't know.
Where he can hear the birds sing?
I don't know. But he's missing from his radio and TV shows
somewhere
this week.
With comfortable walls?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She explained to Think Progress she consults King and his staff regularly on Muslim issues.
Great.
In fact, her new anti-Muslim television show debuted earlier this year. King was the first guest. Mm-hmm. Apparently, she has an anti-Muslim television show.
Huh.
Despite his media-savvy Muslim messenger approach, it's clever. See, you can't question it because it's all Muslims testifying. Peter King, by the way. Oh, here's just a little added fun fact.
Oh.
He once worked with Senator Joe McCarthy's counsel when King was a young lawyer.
Really?
It's weird. And he worked at the same law firm as Roy Cohn.
Oh, the closeted Ray Cohn.
Oh, is that what you were going to say?
Yeah.
Kevin, I didn't know what your point was about him.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Roy Cohn. Well, Kevin Roy in Cohn. Georgia, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Kev.
Hey, Steph, how you doing?
Good, go ahead.
Hey, listen, I just think we're going to have to deal with the fact that we have an entire generation now of crazies that are not going to like Muslims, and it's just going to stay that way for a while. Just like my grandparents had these weird things about the Japs. Even though they're
and they still think it's okay to use that word, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I do not use that word, but I mean, they're friends. Of course, they're all passing away now. Luckily, no. I mean, their racism, luckily, is passing away. It's just, I think we're going to deal with the crazies are going to be crazy. They're going to think that Muslims are bad just because of how they were born and the religion they decided to follow.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I know. Oh, no, I remember a conversation with an older couple once where he used the word Japs. It was just, you're like, oh,
yeah, but, no. But did we have hearings about Japanese people 10 years after the end of...
No, we put them in internment camps. That's what we did.
But did we have hearings about them 10 years after World War II ended? No, we didn't.
I know.
What Peter King is doing now is heinous.
I know. And by the way, where are the jobs? I thought this was all supposed to be about jobs. Seriously, everything they're doing is just like just political. It's just playing to their political base, it seems like, on mm-hmm. every single issue thus far. All right, when we come back, 29 minutes after the hour, I have some pathetic and compelling stories from my personal life.
Oh?
And much more. And James O'Keefe's latest skit.
Oh.
29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. David Schuster coming up at the top of the hour. All right. StephanieMiller.com, the website, by the way. I love when people actually send me their actual orders of our sponsors just to prove
what?
To me, just to suck up to me. Thank you. Mama appreciates that. Drew sent me his Cedarside order. Heard about your product on the Stephanie Miller Radio Show in the morning, 6 to 9 a.m. here in Los Angeles, KTLK. Why, thank you. Happy to try it out. Excited to see how it works for my two doggies. Keep supporting her show. Oh, Drew, you're goodbye. Oh, I finally, someone sent me my retraction demand that was, Julie, my Twitter, you must have seen this. Dear Steph, remember Friday you reported how Andrew Breitbart and Michelle Malkin were using their websites to recruit provocateurs
yes.
to stir up some brouhaha in Wisconsin that would make the demonstrators look as unruly as Fox reports they are?
Yep.
Check out these right-wing tweets of utter contempt sent to that Twitter account Chris runs for you. What?
Uh-oh.
What are you talking about? I do it myself. I don't know who this is, Rachel somebody, but it is actually a funny, snooty picture. She has actually her nose in the air.
Oh, as Republicans are wont to do.
SM Show, if you read anything on his or Michelle Malkin's website, you would see they've done nothing of the sort, and your claims are flat-out lies. Julie writes, what's wrong with me? I find this so hilarious. Seriously, maybe it's a look on her face with a literal nose in the air.
Yeah.
Without a word, that face says, I fixed you up, Missy Left-Wing Radio Slag.
Yeah.
Or maybe it's the hilarious notion that you actually look at freaking MichelleMalkin.com or Breitbart, whatever site, and comply forthwith with her demands as if. Okay, thank you, Julie. I didn't even... Apparently, I was in a Twitter war, and I didn't even realize it.
It happens.
Okay. Oh, by the by, speaking of... Janet, our the fine owner of our Minneapolis station,
yep.
The fine American that owns KKNF Minneapolis.
Yep.
How we can help pay for the Wisconsin 14's hotel rooms.
Oh, great.
Support the Wisconsin State Democratic Senators who are standing up for the middle-class America by helping them pay their hotel bills. You can make a contribution to their political campaign committee, which then they can use to pay their hotel bills in Illinois. The maximum contribution that can be made to any Wisconsin senator is $1,000 per election. You can go to actblue.com is where they're directing us. Okay? Do it! Help them! Fine Americans in wherever they are. Illinois, I'm going to say.
Sure.
All right. Speaking of, by the way, this breaking news this morning, Vivian Schiller has stepped down as the head of NPR.
Yep.
First of all, why isn't James O'Keefe in prison?
Because he's...
ridiculous little asshat in his new skit.
Yeah.
By the way, a lot of people in the Tea Party are racist. There, I said it. Boom! Look at me. I'm like Chris Christie. I did not vaporize into the carpeting.
And we didn't have to trick anybody to get evidence.
No,
of that.
I just said it right there. Because somebody got caught on tape saying the truth. Wow! Now it's a big kerfuffle in right wing world, isn't it?
Does that mean you're going to resign?
No.
No?
The Tea Party are big xenophobic racists. There, I said it. Boom!
Kind of like Peter King.
An NPR executive was captured on a hidden camera calling the Tea Party movement racist and hemophobic? No, that's different. Xenophobic.
Hemophobic is the fear of blood. It is.
They call them hemophiliacs. What?
What?
No! Racist and xenophobic, and said NPR would be better off without federal funding. Well, that's not true.
Mm.
The video was posted by right-wing asshat felon. Is he a felon? I think technically he is.
No, he's
allegedly
been convicted. Mm-hmm.
The same activist who's undercover, Acorn and
Shirley Sherrod.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He wasn't involved with Shirley Sherrod. That was just Andrew Breitbart himself.
Yes.
Okay.
NPR said the statement it was appalled by comments from Ron Schiller. That's no relation, by the way, to Vivian Schiller. He was the president of NPR's fundraising arm. He had informed them he was resigning before this all happened, by the by. He's been placed on administrative leave now. Eric Cantor, of course, said this disturbing video makes it clear that taxpayer dollars should no longer be appropriated. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah, like they weren't going to do that anyway. It's in their budget plan. The heavily edited video, I'll be interested to find what Media Matters and others finds out about all this. Once again, heavily edited, much like the Shirley Sherrod videos and the Acorn thing. Again, that whole thing, as people don't recall, was a hoax.
Yep.
They never walked in there and pimp out in hooker outfits.
They
shot that video footage elsewhere and then made it look like, oh, look how stupid they are.
Mm-hmm.
They walked in looking like this. That's because Fox News ran it over and over again. They have such a problem with their file footage, don't they, at Fox?
They really do.
Palm trees in Madison in the middle of winter. Curious, that. Was I sarcastic enough? I stumbled on Mark Levin yesterday.
Why do you keep doing that?
Because when Randy Rhoads is done, I lose the will to live. Anyway, I'm like, wow, the people really, that is really angry and sarcastic. Does he talk like that the entire 3 hours? He seems like he's just angry and sarcastic.
Anyone who knows Stephanie Miller, and there aren't many, knows she has no audience.
All right, well, so no one heard me say that, so yeah. You're fine.
She's sarcastic and ultra-left-wing.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm trying to think what character he sounds like to me. Yeah, see? One of those old gangster characters.
I think that's Dishonest John from Beanie and Cecil.
Robinson. No, yeah, see? Yeah,
oh, okay.
That guy.
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, so here was this particular... Can I have my comedy music? Because this is James O'Keefe's latest little skit. The heavily edited video shows Schiller and another NPR executive meeting in a restaurant with two men claiming to be part of a Muslim organization.
Uh-oh.
Comedy ensues. The men offer NPR a $5 million donation. NPR said it was repeatedly pressured to accept the $5 million check, which the organization repeatedly refused. So first of all, they didn't really catch them doing anything wrong. They see they tried to send two Muslimy-looking guys to offer them a lot of money so that they could help. What the NPR guy said is the current Republican Party is not really the Republican Party. It's been hijacked by this group that is not just Islamophobic, but really xenophobic. Is there something really... That's largely true.
Yes.
They believe in a sort of white middle America gun-toting. It's scary. They're seriously racist, racist people. And there are
again,
elements of the Tea Party that are very... clearly, yes. I don't know. How else do you interpret the signs of the president with a bone through his nose and watermelons on the White House lawn at Tea Party rallies? Subtle, yes. He also said it'd be clear we'd be better off in the long run without federal funding. Although he conceded if funding were lost, we'd have a lot of stations go dark. NPR executive said the assertion that NPR and public radio stations would be better off without federal funding does not reflect reality. So, I think, again, he was probably just speaking out of frustration with what's happening in Washington currently with the Republican Party. Senators Jim DeMint and Tom Coburn, Republicans, introduced a bill Friday to immediately cut off funding. There's two issues at stake here in regards to taxpayer funding for public broadcasting. We can't afford it, and they don't need it, DeMint said, because of something caught on this wacky skit. They identified, this is, I still need my skit music.
Oh, okay.
They identified the men who met with, their assumed names. They had some assumed names that were really Muslimy sounding that I can't even pronounce.
Great.
And they claimed to represent the Muslim Education Action Center, a group they said had ties to the fundamentalist Muslim Brotherhood. So, let me get this straight. He sent in two fake Muslim guys to offer a check, which NPR refused.
Yep.
But because the guy said some parts of the Republican Party have been hijacked by racist elements, that's now it's a big woo in right-wing world.
Yep.
Okay. Okay. All right. And that was just a prank call to Governor Walker. Meanwhile, that's like, oh, that's just a silly prank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Okay, Stephanie and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, darling.
Hey, guys. I downloaded the Senate bill, Walker's notorious budget bill, and I started going through it yesterday. And now that we're snowed in here in Wisconsin, we're just getting blasted by about 5 inches of snow. But
zoinks.
We have boots, so they might not be Uggs, but we have boots and we can walk through it, that's for sure. But it's either, and I'm going through it with my highlighter and I swear to God, I'm screaming and then there's parts of it that I start nodding off. I was in the middle of it yesterday and I fell asleep for 2 hours and I woke up and Ben, my cat, had like scattered it all over the floor. So 144 pages of stupid Walker bill was everywhere. And,
wow. You're a bigger political geek loser than I am, Steph.
No.
And that takes some doing.
Well, and then next I'm going to download the 3,000-page complete budget, but I first wanted to start out with his at-hatness, his ideas about, everything that he's doing. It's just so horrible.
Yeah, no, it, that's the thing, Stephanie, is there's so much attention paid, and rightfully so, to collective bargaining, but you're right, there's a lot of other really awful stuff in there.
It's horrible what he's doing to the medical assistance program. I mean, seniors and the disabled and the poor, these people, we all need to be, we're all in this.
Oh, my God, Steph.
I'm fighting for.
This, what's it in Georgia? The Republicans are raising taxes on Girl Scout cookies while cutting taxes on foreign corporations. It's the same story everywhere. It's literally the scene in Airplane where they're throwing a Girl Scout into the jukebox.
Exactly.
This is how mean this version of the Republican Party is.
Yeah, it just shows how mean and hateful they are. Everything they do seems very cruel and mean.
Oh my God! Did you see the Girl Scouts on Ed Schultz last night? It was just,
no.
Mr. Schultz, would you like to buy some Mint Milano? The Republicans are taking all our money away.
Oh no!
Oh my God, how precious! I was a Girl Scout, so go Girl Scouts! I remember that was my first act of sales. So
yeah. Ed ordered 100 boxes right on the air. I can hear Wendy going, "Oh no, you're not! You're trying to watch your weight."
He could probably eat 100 boxes in one sitting. I'm serious. He's a big man.
He's a sportsman from the heartland.
I think I've eaten a couple of boxes of Thin Mints in one sitting.
All right, I can
Stephanie's
story about being a loser, elderly, shut-in political geek when we come back. I forgot the pathetic stories from my personal life and right-wing world.
Oh, boy.
As we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Huh. 50 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by GoToMeeting. It's the best way to host an online meeting. You know it. My listeners can try GoToMeeting free for 30 days. Visit GoToMeeting.com. Click on the Try It Free button. Type in the promo code Stephanie. Promo code is Stephanie. Chris in Madison. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Steph. How you doing?
Good. What's the update?
Well, I'd just like to say that there's a lot of us here in Madison that feel that whatever concessions are going to be made with the union is not enough. We feel there should be no concessions on this bill. This bill is going to decimate our poor people in our state here. We're going to have people dying like they are in Arizona.
You know,
they're
Chris,
defunding our schools and tying our hands so that we can't even locally fund these schools.
Chris, why isn't there more pressure, I wonder, for the governor to just give back these tax breaks he gave that caused this shortfall in the first place, to the corporate interests?
Well, there is a movement to do that. There is a group of us that are saying that we want to blame Wall Street. We're not making any concessions. They're the ones that put us in this financial crisis. They're trying to put it on the backs of the middle class people, and we're just done.
That's right. It's the Main Street movement. I'm telling you, it has awakened a sleeping giant.
Yes, it is, and we cannot make these concessions here because this is not just about the union. This will decimate our state, and it will hurt our poor and our children and our sick people more than anybody.
You want to hear a fun fact that's going to make you mad? If banks paid their full taxes, we could rehire all 132,000 teachers laid off during the recession twice.
Yep.
Twice. How about just that?
Yeah, and how about Bank of America just pays some taxes? Maybe that would help as well.
There you go.
Bank of America pays absolutely no taxes.
Yeah.
And I think that we need to start going after these people that are not paying their fair share, that are telling us that we're not paying our fair share.
Yeah.
When we're the working people that pay taxes.
Yeah, let's get some signs, shared sacrifice my ass. Let's get some of those going,
US
Madison.
Uncut.
All right, thank you. I got your shared sacrifice. Ready? I don't know why I'm in Chris Christie mode today.
Yeah, what's going on with you?
I'm friggin' looking at.
All right.
There, I said it. All right. I just love how he says things that are just really bad ideas and like, ooh, that's such refreshing, magical honesty. Oh, there, I said it.
It still doesn't make
I said
a good
we use
idea.
Girl Scouts for medical testing. Boom! Though, I said it. All right. By the way, people in the chat room, you are really immature.
Why?
The fact that they call Pam Geller Atlas Jugs. That is really... I mean, why am I encouraging that or repeating that?
Noted Islamophobe, Pamela Geller?
Yes. John on Mark Levin, a face for radio, a voice for print, and an ideology for bathroom toilet paper. Oh, there he said it. Boom.
He also writes all of Sean Hannity's books because Sean Hannity can't string together two words. Seriously.
All right. We don't know that to be fact.
No, no. Mark Levin.
If he didn't have a teleprompter or a text from Mark Levin, we don't know that to be true.
Yeah, but Mark Levin does write all of Sean Hannity's books. That is a fact.
Yes. Well, we don't know that for sure. Okay. But maybe we should have hearings so he can prove that he doesn't.
Oh, okay.
Okay. All right. Hi, Jim Ward. Look, Jim Ward's here early.
Why?
It's like Christmas just came early.
What's
wrong with you?
Well,
are you all right?
I have a job at 9 o'clock, so I may have to step out a few minutes early. Okay. It's not far away, though.
So. All right. Okay.
All right.
Oh, good. You're here in time for the sad, pathetic stories about my personal life, which I think we've all come to expect.
Again.
Stephanie Madison made me feel better that she was at home reading Governor Walker's bill. That's all she... I thought my life was...
That gives me a headache just thinking about it.
Yeah.
You know, I think in the probably in the absence of really any real chance of actually finding a husband or a wife, I think I need to skip right to elder care, don't you think? I think I need some sort of... Oh, well, you know how windy it was 2 nights ago here?
Yeah.
You know that giant umbrella on my front deck?
Yeah.
Yeah. That was like a little Wizard of Oz scene. Yeah, I was like struggling with the giant umbrella in the middle of the night. I was almost in traction. That's why I almost missed the show.
That's why you should use bungee cords on windy nights.
Yeah, it shouldn't have been up, but I neglected to. And having no one to help me, I was.
And your little dog, too. Oh, two big dogs. I'll get them, my pretty.
And then last night, I sometimes wake up in the middle. Exactly. I sometimes wake up in the middle of the night and I need a snuggle. And again, no one there. I force my dogs to snuggle. And last night I had to bribe Fred into bed with ice cream. Because they sometimes won't come and snuggle me until yes.
You're not supposed to feed dogs
ice
cream.
Well, it was the only way I could get them in bed with me.
I hope it wasn't chocolate ice cream.
Just a little tiny.
It makes them barf and it makes them constipated.
Well, it made them drool all over me.
Oh, boy.
Wow. And then, here's another computer moron story. I paid a computer guy to come to my house yesterday just to make my mouse work. Because I had a new wireless mouse, and I've had it for months, and I couldn't figure out how to make it work. Because I don't...
You have to
hold down the button until it says connection made on the screen.
Well, it didn't work that way. Why don't you come over and do it?
I didn't hear a phone call from you.
No, you have to do setup. He did it. You have to go to a Bluetooth setup
thing.
There's
a menu or something.
It's more complicated than that. Anyway.
Menu. Bluetooth setup. Done. Bam.
Bam.
And how much did you pay said person?
$1 million.
Went easy on me. It was only like $40 bucks.
$1 million.
Well, it was the middle of the night, so.
Just a loser.
Take care now. Bye-bye, then.
All right.
That's Iniki.
Oh, guess what movie I watched on pay-per-view?
What?
By myself, because I'm a loser. The thing with the 127 hours, the James Franco disaster, but not the Oscars, the movie that he was good in.
Right.
127 hours, which I don't know why.
Wait a minute.
I chose that because my friends are like, but you can't watch violence. The whole movie is about him sawing his arm off.
Yeah. And
well, I figured the whole movie couldn't be about that. I could hide my face during that part, which I did.
But I'm sure there were sounds and stuff.
Yeah. It was like a Castaway, but, you know,
he didn't saw his arm off in Castaway.
But he did have to,
that's the guy alone trapped somewhere for
a long time.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. And his feet were all cut up from coral. But...
All right, anyway.
Of course, all the coral's dying now anyway. So
he was really good in that movie.
Yeah.
He was.
I hear it's a really good movie. I just don't know that I could sit through that scene.
Oh, no, I didn't.
Oh,
I didn't.
Okay.
No, I went and snuggled with my dog during that scene.
If you get really drunk, it's okay. It kind of gives you a little distance.
All right. All right.
Not that Stephanie would ever drink at home while watching
TV
alone. Never.
No.
She's not alone. Her dogs are there.
Yeah, that's it. That's the justification.
I drink alone. Just me and my two dogs.
Oh, wait a minute. That means I need to... I should... Speaking of which, this might be my one chance.
What?
This is my future wife list.
Oh,
yeah.
Hey.
Naked Florida woman arrested after throwing stones in her own teeth.
What?
An intoxicated, naked Naples woman threw stones at people and her teeth into a canal Saturday night.
Mm.
They responded to a call for a woman who was drunk and naked, throwing rocks at people and calling them names.
I'm guessing if she's tossing her teeth, she's not a naked woman you really want to look at.
No.
She's only 46.
Really?
Perfect.
Wow.
They found her sitting on the dock near her home with a blanket wrapped around her. She turned toward the deputies, took off her blanket, and exposed herself.
Uh-huh.
She had taken some of her teeth out and threw them into the canal. She kept picking at her teeth and asked to use some pliers.
Pliers?
To get the rest of her teeth out, presumably.
If she's sitting on a dock with a blanket wrapped around her,
dock of the bay.
I'm just picturing her saying, can't talk, coming down. Can't talk, coming down.
Dock of the bay, pulling my teeth.
Can I have some pliers?
Pliers.
Wow. Okay, see? Now, suddenly, I don't feel like a loser anymore.
Uh-huh.
58 minutes after the hour. Right back with David Schuster next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Or as we call it, So You Think You Can Dance,
yeah.
Starring Stephanie Miller on Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
Listener Tim writes, I just watched the Ustream feed and I saw Stephanie bebopping to the music, and I swear she makes Carlton from Fresh Prince look like Twyla Tharp.
Shut up, Ustream! Fine, we'll make Jim do the William F. Buckley eyes.
Yes.
Ah, my milkshake brings all the boys to the yard, and they're of the considered opinion that is better than yours. Ah, which is, of course, completely irrelevant if you're lactose intolerant.
Hooray.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Those are creepy lizard eyes.
Yep.
They just are.
Yep.
Okay.
And if you were at ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller, you would have seen that.
Yeah, you missed it. Yep. Uh-huh. Okay. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us the old-fashioned way.
Also, may I point out that ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller is a good way to listen to the show while you're at work, because you can hear the audio of the show as well and chat with other listeners.
It's so awesome.
Wow. I know, right?
Instead of doing actual work.
Actual work. I was just going to say.
Or, what's even better
is
that if you have a smartphone, you can download the Ustream app and go to the Stephanie Miller Show and watch and listen to the show right on your smartphone.
Nice, but how do you fix the rabbit ears on that thing?
Can you get the Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog on there?
Oh.
Dear God, Alan Simpson is becoming—he's stealing the crotchety old man act from John McCain.
That is a fakery, and by doing nothing, if they care at all about their children or grandchildren, and sometimes I doubt that. I think, you know, grandchildren now don't write a thank you for the Christmas presents. They're walking on their pants or their cap on backwards, listening to Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog, and they don't like them.
Listening to Enema Man.
Enema Man and Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
He's funny.
I don't like it. Get out of my yard! Wow.
You crappy ass.
You want to see my angry, crotchety grandpa discount card?
Sir, this card has expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
Oh, I don't have time for this. I have to go buy a single piece of fruit with a coupon and then return it, making people wait behind me while I complain.
All right. Enough of crotchety old men. Let's talk to sexy young man David Schuster. Good morning, David Schuster.
Stephanie, good morning to you. You know, I have to say, you can dance anytime you want for me.
No, I am kind of Elaine from Seinfeld. It's, I must say, people that have watched me dance once looked at each other and said, what do you think she hears? So I dance to my own drummer, David. You know how it is.
I'm right there with you, Stephanie. And any day that I can imagine dancing with you is a great day.
Oh, David. He's still my heart. Now, so let's talk about the what's going on in Wisconsin and how the media is covering it. What do you think?
Well, I think Fox News has proven again that they are just they're just off the deep end. I mean, it is so much sort of journalistic malfeasance what they're doing. Whether it was, you know, I mean, the one that jumped out at me, it was sort of this video that some guy got of a Republican state senator, Glenn Grothman, is sort of walking in, and, you know, people are giving him a hard time, and they're yelling.
They're yelling shame,
yeah,
right.
Yelling shame, and,
right.
And but... Fox News describes this as, oh, this just proves that they're violent, that it's a violent, angry mob. And the guy who took the photographs gives a statement saying that he was sickened to see it so sort of willfully distorted. And the fact of the matter is everybody, anybody who's been to Wisconsin or anybody who's taken a realistic look at this knows that this is probably the most peaceful protest in humankind history. And yet Fox News just goes off the deep end and says, oh, this is violent and blah, blah. And then the other thing that just sort of drove me absolutely nuts, and this is where it just gets to me, which convinces me that there is a deliberate effort from the top, and everybody's accepted it at Fox News to sort of embrace the effort just to smear at any cost. So there was the report about how, you know, people have put up tape signs throughout the Capitol, and that maybe that has left some sort of residue that would have to be cleaned. Okay, understandable. So Fox News gets some sort of claim that this to clean the Capitol would be $7 million.
Right.
Now, anybody with any sort of brain of their own would know that you could build a Capitol
for $7 million. Yeah.
I mean, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. And so finally, when somebody actually bothers to check, oh, it's, it may be, if you had to clean all the walls of the Capitol, $300,000. Well, there's a big difference between $300,000 and $7 million. And for Fox News to sort of go on these crazy rants, it just shows just how despicable they've become.
Well, we were saying, I heard Rush Limbaugh repeat the same thing. We were saying the funny thing is, of course, they never correct themselves. They just go on to the next batch of lies. Because I heard him saying that. I think he even upped it to nine. He's like, $9 million to clean the Capitol from these slobs, my friends. Now we...
And these are people who have been cleaning up after themselves. I mean, everybody who's been at the protest will say it's, you know, very polite, very concerned sort of citizenry who make sure they clean up their sort of garbage and all that kind of stuff. And so it's just, I mean, I'm sort of beginning to wonder if just sort of Fox News is deliberately, I don't know, maybe Roger Ailes has just sort of lost his mind. I mean, he's always been sort of a good, you know, television programmer, and he knows that if you want to attract an audience, you create sort of a fight or a circus or whatnot. But he's just so off the deep end, and it's just it's baffling to me that so many people who I used to respect at Fox News are joining in hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, David, we were saying, I think we talked last week about that, you know, they've been reduced to having a reporter trying to incite the crowd and then falsely claiming that someone punched him to create this incident. I mean, you're right. Even the police said they've left it neater than when they came. They literally were tidying up.
Right. And I wish, you know, nobody would be able to say the same. At, you know, if Fox News has done more, I think, to sort of damage this country and damage journalism than anything I can think of. And it's just, you know, Fox News is concerned about costs of protesters. Well, perhaps they ought to be concerned about their cost to our society of misleading so many millions of people and creating such needless consternation and frustration among people.
And now you have Andrew Napolitano saying things like this on Fox.
I think most of America had no idea the sweetheart deals that unions have gotten, the collective bargaining. It's not a natural right that comes from God or comes from our humanity, that it was a gift given to them by big government Republicans and big government Democrats before you guys took office. And the fact that the American public knows that is a good thing.
Wow. I'm guessing Fox is not reporting, David, on the polls showing that huge majorities of Americans want collective bargaining rights to stay. They are against Governor Walker.
Yeah, because actually all the polls suggest that people support collective bargaining. They believe that Walker's gone too far. I mean, the polls, and it's not even sort of a question. I mean, the polls are clear on that. And the other thing is, you know, if Judge Napolitano, you know, is happy that he has his weekends off, he has unions to thank for it. I mean, the absurdity of, you know, these crackers on the right, it's just, it's crazy.
David Schuster.
I'm sorry, did I call Judge Napolitano a cracker? I'm sorry, I should have referred to him as a crazy, insane cracker.
Thank you. So noted. So stipulated.
That'll make Newsbusters.
we slowed down there, Newsbusters.
Don't get me started about Newsbusters.
We know.
But you know what's funny? In fact, I actually heard Mark Levin saying this on the radio yesterday. When the polls don't go their way, David, they say they don't matter.
Right.
He was saying, like, only the midterms matter. These snapshots.
The
they don't.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's the other thing. It's just, I mean, hypocrisy is just sort of mind-numbing. I mean, I had so many issues with people who were, you know, who were, it's towards the healthcare debate. And remember sort of August of whatever, a year and a half ago, when there were all these sort of disruptions at events. And I thought, okay, look, people should just sort of be civilized and let everybody speak. But I don't remember any Republicans saying, hey, we should have open and honest dialogue, and it's important to have dialogue. And yet, you know, now when a couple people sort of shout down Congressman James Sensenbrenner in Wisconsin, the Republicans are suddenly outraged that you know, people don't believe in freedom of speech. And it's like, come on, where were you guys?
Yeah, no, that was one of the biggest,
Wheel of right wing!
He was the guy who shut down the meeting. And he was complaining about
Yeah.
They're silencing him?
Yeah. He was all for it during the town halls when they were, you know, the all these Tea Party groups were paying people to go and disrupt the meetings. But, yeah.
And where was the will of the people that, you know, elections matter? Well, I thought elections mattered following the election of President Obama and his desire to sort of push forward health care. Well,
no.
It felt like that didn't count, but now it does? I mean,
no. Not when the elections don't go their way, David. Come on. Yeah. Try to keep up here.
Yeah.
So how is this going to play out, you think, in Wisconsin? I mean, obviously, the longer this goes on, the more support there are for the workers and the less support for Governor Walker.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen that the Democrats there have started recall efforts for several Republicans. There is now an ethics violation charge that has been brought, or that at least an investigation that's been brought against the Governor Walker because of his phone call with the fake David Koch. So I think, I mean, I just at a certain point, Walker has to decide: does he want to be a dictator, or does he want to actually engage in the art of compromise? And at a certain point, he's got to recognize that these people that he disagrees with are also fellow Wisconsin citizens who care just as passionately and deeply about the state and fiscal responsibility as he does. And at a certain point, he's got to recognize that these are fellow human beings who are engaging and trying to engage in an honest debate, and they're doing so peacefully. And if he wants to sort of, you know, come in and say, no, you know, all my political opponents don't matter. I think, I mean, from what I'm sensing, a lot of people are just getting more and more disgusted with Governor Walker. And Governor Walker has sparked unions and union activity in a way that a lot of, I think, union organizers themselves never could have. And I'm hearing from a lot of Republicans in D.C. who are saying, look, you know, at a certain point, Walker needs to end this because, you know, we as Republicans who oppose unions, I mean, Walker's doing more to inflame support for unions than
he has created, David, hasn't he, this what they're really calling a Main Street movement that is really shining a spotlight on the fact that, you know, Bank of America, all these others, you know, are getting these loopholes and paying, you know, nothing or very little compared to what they make, and they're trying to take it on the backs of the workers in this country.
And that's exactly right. I mean, you know, in order for Republicans to sort of win elections, they have to be able to convince people that they are not just a party of corporations and the rich. They have to be able to say, hey, we're on the side of, you know, working class. And every time this sort of argument happens, it sort of reinforces, I think, to a lot of people in the middle who tend to decide elections that, no, Republicans don't care, at least in their minds, they don't care about sort of working class voters or about teachers, that they only care about protecting their wealthy friends. And that's not a place you want to be. Just in pure political strategy terms, that's not a place you want to be going into elections.
Now, Republicans, let's turn to the budget battle. I mean, in Georgia, they're throwing Girl Scouts into the jukeboxes. I saw this headline, $2 million stolen from nuns at a convent, and that was in Spain. I thought it was Republicans, but that's incorrect. But how is this going to play out in Washington? Because obviously we're going to have, you know, two votes today. They're going to vote down the Republican huge, you know, budget slashing one and the smaller Democratic one. Then where do we go from there?
I think that it's possibly back to more sort of continuing resolutions. I mean, maybe they extend it by another couple of weeks. President Obama appears to be sort of now more engaged in sort of negotiations, and there at least appears to be, from what I'm hearing, aside from sort of the public, you know, statements, there seems to be some goodwill and some agreement that you don't want to have a government shutdown, that that's something to be avoided. So the question is, you know, what can they do to continue avoiding it for another couple of weeks? I keep hearing from some folks that they're actually, the White House is getting fairly close or is getting closer to some sort of deal that they could sign on, that Republicans could sign on, but they just need more time to pull along, you know, the Democrats and Republicans who, you know, for whatever reason are saying, no, we've got certain things that are sacred. So it may just be a matter of time, but I do think that, I mean, the one thing that I found sort of surprising is that the White House, as you know, the presidency is a bully pulpit, and if the president wanted to, he could get up in front of the American people and say, look, here's the issue. Here's what we're doing to try to restore fiscal responsibility. Here's how we're being blocked. And he has so much of a louder megaphone than the Republicans could possibly have, and it's the president who has the ability to really frame this debate on his terms. And the fact that the president has not yet been willing to step forward and frame it to his sort of strategic advantage and to the way that sort of benefits Democrats, I found somewhat surprising. Now, maybe that's because he feels that they're close and he doesn't want to upset the apple cart. But at a certain point, if this doesn't get solved, I think it's, you know, responsibility of President Obama to get up for his party and for his views and say, look, this is what's going on.
Yeah. All right. David Schuster, I love you with the heat of 1,000 white hot suns.
Stephanie, I love you right back. You guys have a great day.
All right. David Schuster, there he goes. I'm always so inappropriate with him.
You are.
Dreamy blue eyes.
I wonder what the lovely and talented Mrs. Schuster thinks.
Who cares? All right, 20 minutes after the hour, we'll make Jim make some funny face when we get back on the Ustream, and we'll do Right-Wing World.
Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller?
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I got her number off the men's room stall. 1-800-STEP-12.
My name's Bob Dole. Bob Dole doesn't agree with Enderman Man and the Poopy Puppy Poopy Pants and the Ice Cube Tray Man and the kids wearing pants on their heads and I don't know what all Bob Dole thinks is a shame. Bob Dole thinks Bob Dole ought to stop referring to Bob Dole in the third person. Makes Bob Dole look like fruitcake.
There you go, you streamers.
It's
Bob
the Dole,
creepy Bob Dole eye.
Pants.
There's that Enema Man.
Enema Man.
Yes.
And Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog.
Yes.
We don't have any Snoopy Snoopy Poop Dog songs,
no.
though.
I disagree with Jim, though. I adore the Icy Puffy people. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number toll-free from anywhere.
You know, they haven't been called Icy Puffy people since the mid-90s.
They're icy and puffy, and they're adorable.
Not since the mid-90s.
Jim, who said, isn't it ironic that someone who offered such vocal support for the IRA is involved in this kind of witch hunt against Muslims in America? Who said that?
Jerry Adams.
Peter King. No, Ibrahim Hoover, spokesman for the Council on American Islamic Relations.
Oh. And we're having someone from CARE on next hour.
Cool. Why do you think I said that?
I see.
That you would say that.
There's a point to the show.
What?
I had no idea.
We were Captain and Tennille Tease.
This show has a point?
Apparently.
Yeah. Oh, that's news to me.
We'll stumble into it eventually. All right. Bill in Los Angeles has a conspiracy theory on why I was sick Monday. Hello, Bill.
Good morning, Stephanie.
Yes.
Good morning, Liz.
Hello. Yes.
Hello.
Stephanie. Stephanie,
yes.
Tell the truth.
Yes.
On Monday, you didn't call out sick. You called out Sheen, didn't you?
I called in Sheen. That's right. I'm on Charlie Sheen. I can't come in today because I'm winning.
Duh.
All right. Robin and Madison. Hey, Rob.
Hey. I was in the hospital last week when the firemen came in and when they were only letting one person in at a time because I wanted to see all of the posters and whatnot. They had everything hanging with painter's tape. You know, the stuff that's not supposed to hurt anything.
Right.
Right.
I mean, there was no glue, there was no string, there was no... It was painter's tape. It was blue everywhere.
Yep.
We have a law in Wisconsin that you cannot build a building that will obscure the view of our beautiful Capitol. So it just infuriates me when these idiots from... wherever, Fox News,
yep.
make such grandiose statements, misinformation about, you know, the lack of care that the people of Wisconsin take and feel about their capital.
That's right.
Yeah, but it was Muslim
Governor Walker's policies are going to be the one that leave the stinky residue.
Exactly. That was the stench I was feeling. There was like this ooze trail that I could tell you was in the building, like a snail.
Like a snail,
no,
yes.
Yeah. So if it costs millions of dollars to remove that, I'll take that project.
All right. Thank you, honey. Appreciate it. Woody in Albuquerque, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Woody.
Buenos dias, all.
Adios mio.
Buenos nachos.
Adios mio. Listen, I got a couple observations and one kind of a plea, I suppose you'd call it. The plea I'll start with first, if you don't mind. What we need on this side is a chant. We need a slogan, and I came up with one I think would work. It goes like this. It goes, "United we bargain, divided we beg."
Yep. Mm. Yeah, that's true. Absolutely.
Yeah, I know.
Good
and
job.
The rich make choices. The difference is between Biarritz or truffles or caviar. The poor make decisions. Rent or food.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, exactly. All right. What the banks are getting away with reminds me of that commercial with all the rich guys in jail that one of them gets away in an Audi or
whatever.
Something. You don't watch the right channels, Chris. You only watch Fox News. They don't have... You know what I'm talking about. The prison break where they say release the hounds and the Afghans come out and...
I don't remember that.
Mm. No.
Other people do.
Really?
All right. Hey, Right Wing World is coming up. Speaking of things that stink, Jim, do you have a conspiracy theory about the mass fish death that just happened out here in Redondo Beach?
Yeah, it's very... odd. Well, this is happening all over the world. It's very disturbing.
One million fish turned up. Sardines turned up dead in Southern California. And apparently the smell here is, it's like Charlie Sheen's hotel room. It's all right.
It's a whorehouse at low tide.
Yes, a whorehouse at low tide. 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
not the music from that scene.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEPH-12.
No, Jim and I were just reenacting the scene where he slams a syringe into my chest.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. I'm better now.
Yeah, that's always fun.
Mm. Are you calling down a cell phone? Prank caller. Prank caller.
All right.
I'm about to go medieval on your ass.
Not since John McCain is making fun of old people, it's been so much fun.
Yeah.
But Kristen Yankton writes of the crotchety Alan Simpson.
Do you think Alan Simpson has deeply repressed mommy issues or experienced some traumatic potty training incident in his colonial era youth? He keeps blurting out things that would have had Freud covering his face in embarrassment. Like pig with 30 million tits, enema man, Snoopy poop dog. Jesus, man, get some therapy. You're 1,000 years old. Resolve those mommy and potty training issues already.
Tell me about your mother.
I got to hear it one more time. Alan Simpson, the debt commission co-chair.
That is a fakery. And by doing nothing, if they care at all about their children or grandchildren, and sometimes I doubt that. I think, you know, grandchildren now don't write a thank you for the Christmas presents. They're walking on their pants with their cap on backwards, listening to the Enema Man, the Snoopy poop dog, and they don't like them.
They're walking on their poop and wearing the pants on their heads and...
By the way, he apologized for comparing Social Security to a milk cow with 300 million
teats.
Teats. I know you were like, can I say that on the air? I'm like, he did. I don't know if he gets the old man pass.
Well, right here, I've got my old man card. It gives me a pass. What? It expired? What?
Especially you want to see my angry, crotchety grandpa discount card.
Sir, this card has expired.
But it's good for a lifetime.
Well, yours expired.
Old men or old men from farm country like Chuck Grassley can say instead of teats.
Yeah.
Because they think, I don't know, somehow, that it's okay.
Or here, they get it. Here's another Alan Simpson quote.
Careful of the apple pie on the seat.
Uh-oh!
Grandpa, are you sitting on the pie?
I sure hope so.
Oh, no.
There goes those potty training issues again.
In a weirdly unrelated story to Teats, Eric writes, hey, Steph, what Peter King is trying to do is as un-American as it gets. The 99% of Muslims who understand what's in the Quran are not responsible for the 1% who don't. What's next? Are you and Shelley Wright going to be called before Congress to explain why all lesbians aren't as hot as you two? I think Squeezy could be the head of that commission.
Yeah.
He could do that questioning.
I believe we need to assemble all the hot lesbians in the country to explain to us why they're not all that
mean. That's what Shelley was telling us yesterday. A guy wrote and asked her for a refund for her records that he bought because she didn't have the decency to look gay. So she tricked him.
She didn't have the decency to wear flannel and play softball? Is that
right?
She didn't look like Katie Lang. It's a lesbian punked. All right, let's dive into the right-wing world, see what's doing, shall we, kids? Here we go. Oh, gosh, Joe Pagliarulo.
They call him Joe Pags.
Sure they do.
Yeah.
They meaning, I don't know, other right-wing nuts that listen to...
I guess.
When he fills in for Beck. Okay.
You know what there's a racial component in? The far left? There's a racial component in liberals in this country. They see everything through the glasses of race, through the glasses of class warfare, of economic status. That's what they see. I see everybody who's an American. I happen to be a conservative guy. And I see that everybody has the same opportunities.
That's not true, unfortunately. You know what helps people have the same opportunities? Unions.
Don't you love it how white men talk about how there's never been any history of racism and everybody has the exact same opportunities here? All right, Rush Limbaugh.
Does anybody believe anything Obama says about his stated goals and intentions? Because, folks, if he had been honest, he wouldn't have been elected. And if he was being honest since he's been elected, he would have been impeached because this, none of it is what anybody bargained for when they went to the polls in 2008.
Really? Even though he's pretty much done everything exactly that he said he was going to do thus far? I mean, seriously, he ran on pretty much everything that has happened so
there
far.
There is Gitmo. Gitmo. Yeah.
Well, but thank you. That's something, obviously, he wanted to do.
And continuing the wars.
Well, no,
but he's doing what he said. He doubled down in Afghanistan. Yeah. He's getting us out of Iraq.
For me, Gitmo is the big thing, though. Yeah. Just because, you know, he specifically...
I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, that's...
No, I agree with you. But how are you going to do it? I've made this point before. Right. Not just Republicans. You have some Democrats that are too
It's a lot harder. It's a lot harder than
Yeah.
Than just closing it down.
No, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. All right. Do we have to? What? Steve Doocy and who's this? Chris Plant?
Yeah.
Is this a new freak on Fox
and
Freaks?
No, I think he's just a guest thing.
Oh, he's a guest freak.
He's just a plant.
A Republican plant.
Peter King, the congressman from Long Island, New York, is going to start these Department of Homeland Security hearings into the radicalization of people in the United States. And some members of the Muslim community are saying, hey, wait a minute, this is a witch hunt.
I keep hearing these words like demonization and witch hunt. The problem that the Muslim community has is not Congressman Peter King. It's the repeated murderous attacks by people committing these crimes, these terrorist attacks in the name of Islam.
Oh, yeah. Except Peter King happens to be a
right-wing hypocrite.
He was one of the most zealous American defenders of the militant IRA in its campaign to drive the British out of Northern Ireland. He argued IRA violence was an inevitable response to British repression, and the organization had to be understood in the context of a centuries-long struggle for independence. The British government is a murder machine, he once said.
Hmm.
Gee, that's more offensive than moving the bust of Winston Churchill to a different room in the White House, isn't it? he once suggested that President Obama, quote, use the word terrorism more often so people understand the seriousness of his purpose. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a policy. Just repeat the word as many times.
Well, that's the Bush administration.
Yeah.
Terror taxes.
Terror. And plus, Bush didn't even put enough syllables in it.
Terror. I see a terrorist in the mirror.
Okay. Frank Luntz and Sean Hannity.
I want to go to your slogan. Can you afford four more? It's the rhetorical question, number
one. Clever.
Number two, the alliteration, or in this case, the rhyme. Four more. Perfect.
Wow.
I genuinely say, Sean, that a candidate would do well taking your slogan, but because you've used it, they can't.
Then why not? I'll lend it to them.
You can't.
I'll patent it. I'll trademark it, and I'll share.
And I'll what?
Share.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Share.
Excuse me.
He took a breath in the middle of that word. then finish it, actually.
First of all, that's really dumb, and four more years is, you know, so 40 years ago. Luntz is cleverer than that, I thought.
All right.
Can we afford four more? See, it's alliterative.
Get it?
And it rhymes.
It's clever.
And it's, look, shiny keys. You're getting sleepy. Cannot afford four more.
Okay, Doc Thompson, who's this? This is a Beck fill-in?
He's a fill-in for Beck on the radio.
Awesome.
Need those full-body scanners. We don't need them. We don't have to have those. We can simply profile people. The most successful thing on the planet.
Okay, what if you had a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Bosnian Muslim who speaks perfect English?
Peter King doesn't have time to work in every airport.
Or a red-haired, blue-eyed IRA terrorist.
Right. Yeah, somebody did the pictures of all the latest terrorists, and of course they all look completely different. Yep. One's a blonde woman, one's a, you know, it's like, oh, please. All right, that concludes the All Right in the World, except...
What?
For making Jim do the Dick Morris impression,
yay!
Which is my personal favorite, because I love the headline from Media Matters. Dick Morris is still a terrible political analyst.
Wow.
He is. He's just wrong about everything. He should have the same chyron that Bill Kristol does.
Yeah.
By the way, FYI, he's been wrong about everything
ever
before, just while you're listening to his blather. His latest column is How to Shut Down the Government, because that was such good advice last time. He advises the GOP to insist on narrow, deep range of cuts for optimum political gain. He says Republicans should zero fund highway construction.
But you got to get rid of the highway construction and get hospitals and helping the poor, feeding unions. We should kill the poor and eat them is what I'm saying. I'm really, really hungry. I could eat a whole city full of poor people.
Zero fund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and the National Endowment for the
Arts. Commie Muslims.
He said the result will inevitably be a total victory for the Republican Party. Winning!
Duh!
Winning, duh!
Wow. The Republicans. He's getting advice from Charlie Sheen. That's wild.
Republicans should take the next step, he says, and then enroll back Medicaid funding to 2008.
Who likes old people? They're stinky and smelly. This is die. They don't need any medical care. They just shut up and die already.
Media Matters writes, total victory for the Republican Party is inevitable if they follow Morris' strategy. That's a bold prediction coming from someone who insisted the 2008 presidential campaign would pit Condi Rice against Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. Great prediction there.
And a CNN poll found 70% of Americans think it's more important to prevent Medicaid from being significantly cut than to reduce the deficit. 61% want to prevent significant cuts to programs to build and maintain roads, bridges, and mass transit. And 69% oppose cuts to public broadcasting.
People are commies. They're stupid commies, and I hate them. I just want to kill them and eat them.
Did you hear that he hung up on a radio show the other day because they wouldn't talk about his book enough?
Really?
Yes.
He
in the same interview, he called Ron Paul horrific.
Oh, he's awful. I can't stand that bastard. I want to club him like a baby harp seal and eat him.
Dick Morris is always hungry.
All of his thoughts end with him eating something or
sure.
someone.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, I strongly oppose Ron Paul. I think he's horrific. He wants us to end the war on drugs. He wants us to end the war on terror. The host said, do you think we're winning the war on drugs? He said, no, because we're not fighting it.
Ah.
The host said, we're not fighting it. We don't have enough laws against drugs. No, Morris replied, we should drug test every high school student. We should drug test everybody that gets a student loan.
Who's going to pay for that?
Yeah.
I don't know. And then he said, I'd like to talk about my book, Revolt, How to Defeat Obama and Repeal His Socialist Programs. He said, you know what? You talk to yourself for the next 50 minutes. That seems to be what you want to do. And then he hung up.
Aren't they supposed to be against big government?
Yeah, I know, exactly, exactly.
Yeah. That sounds like the only, biggest government ever.
Only when it's taxing rich people. That's the part they don't like.
Right.
Yeah, apparently.
Hmm.
All right, and then he ate something, and he ran out of breath, and he collapsed and fell through six...
He fell onto a floor full of hammers.
We just do that for that sound effect, because we think that's what it sounds like when Dick Morris falls down after he gets winded from a run-on sentence.
I told you about that 2008 McCarthy get the Hillary.
I really am the do-it-again girl in high school.
Do it again.
I just cannot get enough of it.
Yeah, I came here to talk about my book, damn it. You don't even talk about my book. You don't even talk about just hang up.
It's just a big, fat Republican Tasmanian devil.
Yes!
What for you want to marry me, good, good ground?
Except he's too fat to be able to spin. He can only kind of, like, go around.
He needs a whole, like, crew that pushes a whale back into the ocean just to spin him around.
Tornado-like.
Oh, that is so immature. Did you get that all, Newsbusters? Good.
Yeah.
46 minutes after the hour.
Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller.
I
love the impressions.
I'd like to see them transcribe the Dick Morris sentences.
Yeah.
Good luck with that.
46 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Perpetual motion machine, endlessly satisfying every human need.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Again with the icy puffy poopy people. What the? Grandkids are listening to this stuff.
Alan Simpson will just be doddering in and out of the show all morning.
Yeah.
51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number.
Grandpa, Matlock's not real.
Neither are my teeth, but I can still eat corn on the cob if someone cuts it off and smushes it into a fine paste. Now that's good eating.
Is he going to tell the onion belt story at the next debt commission?
He may.
You know, these kids with their pants on backwards, they need knitting a onion on their belt to just hold them up.
We can't bust heads like we used to, but we have our ways.
Oh, you got it.
One trick is to tell them stories that don't go anywhere. Like the time I caught the ferry over to Shelbyville.
Yep.
I needed a new heel for my shoe.
Sure.
So I decided to go to Morganville, which is what they call Shelbyville in those days. So I tied an onion to my belt, which was the style at the time. Now, to take the ferry cost a nickel. And in those days, nickels had pictures of bumblebees on them. Give me 5 bees for a quarter, you'd say. Now, where were we? Oh, yeah. The important thing was that I had an onion on my belt.
Why?
It was a style at the time.
Oh, okay.
They didn't have white onions.
Why not?
Because of the war.
Okay.
The only thing you could get was those big yellow ones.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Onion. Can I just say what makes me laugh? Because I had a shoe repaired recently, and going in one of those little tiny shoe repair shops is like going way back in time.
Yes, it is.
It's like a little tiny, like, you know, it's like a shoe closet.
It is.
It's so small. That and the little watch repair places. Who are those guys?
Perry Como on the radio. And
what? It's the only place.
Perry Como
I do. I have a great shoe repair guy, and I have a great watch repair guy.
It's called a cobbler.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Yes. No peach.
And of course they're
involved.
Not. They're never American. They're always from somewhere because we don't know how to do anything anymore. They're the only people that have a trade. All right, I'm just saying.
A lot of them are Persian.
Well, they did a fabulous job on my shoe because I needed a new heel.
For your shoe.
So you had to go to Shelbyville.
I used paper calendars and I needed a new heel for my shoe. Okay, let's go to Joshua in Chicago. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Josh.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, hello, hello.
Mm-hmm.
How you all doing?
Yeah, go ahead.
Just want to talk about the unions, and I don't think people remember the significance and importance of a union. They're the ones, the union's the ones who actually stop child labor.
Well, thank you. We have weekends. We have, eight-hour
work
days.
We have 40-hour work days. Exactly, because when it was non-unionized, companies would make you work about 6 days a week, 12-hour shifts. And if you didn't like it, we got about 20,000 people outside waiting for your job.
Yeah.
So if you don't want to work the long hours, we got somebody else.
Listen, don't talk too loud, because that's kind of how I make Chris work now. He doesn't know.
I'm like, what is this 8-hour workday business you keep talking about?
And then you need to watch Fox News for hours after work. Get all those sound bites, Cinderella.
You know, Tom Hartman had someone on the other day talking about how there are people actually trying to repeal child labor laws. That they have some sort of constitutional right to work children. You know, a constitutional right to lose their hands. And
I'm a child laborer.
That's probably why the Republicans in Georgia are cutting the Girl Scout budget so they can, or taxing the Girl Scout cookies because they need to get real jobs.
Sure.
Selling cookies door to door, like that's a job.
Can't tax rich people. That's communism. Take it out on the Girl Scouts.
Let's go to
with their Samoas and Thin Mints.
Their sashes. Justin in Orange County, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Justin.
Hey, Stephanie Mooks. Man, you're killing me this morning. You guys are hysterical.
Thank you.
and the chat room is awesome, by the way. Go to ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Enjoy the chat. Anyways, I got a couple of points real quick. First of all, regarding Charlie Sheen's hotel room, the smell is more like cat food and cigarettes than anything, I'm sure.
That's true. That's true. More than the fish kill. Yeah.
And then Mitt Romney, did you see his new makeover? There's a great article in the LA Times about how he's the everyday man. You know, he shops at Walmart now and Target, and he strolls the pits of NASCAR. Like he's the average Joe billionaire guy. It's hysterical. I mean, is anybody going to fall for it?
Yes, probably some people will. Yes, if history's any guide.
I love NASCAR. I'm not sure what it is, but I love it.
He's such a phony. Okay, he just is. No matter how many times he tries to remake himself.
Who let the cars out? Woof, woof.
Vroom, vroom. People are always like, clip art. He's clip art.
Yeah. All he needs is a pipe, and he'd be a clip art dad from the 1950s.
You're right.
Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid promising an up or down vote on the $61 billion in budget cuts passed by House Republicans just to show the version of that version of the spending bill is dead, even if the upper chamber has to debate till 1 a.m. to prove the point. Senator Reid.
Republicans are reneging on that deal. They don't want to vote on their own bill. Where I come from, people keep their word. I'm disappointed. Now the Republicans refuse to keep their word.
I'm so disappointed and surprised when Republicans don't keep their word. What?
Harry Reid's been in the Senate for a long, long time. You'd think he'd stop being
I think he can think of an instance or two.
Yeah.
Senator Joe Manchin, Democrat, West Virginia.
Why are we doing all this when the most powerful person in these negotiations, our president, has failed to lead this debate or offer a serious proposal for spending and cuts that he would be willing to fight for?
Wait, he's such an Obama naysayer, he could get a job on this show, for God's sakes.
But he has. I mean...
Yes, he has. What is Joe Manchin's deal? He's just,
he's
the most
Republican
of the Democrats.
He's a Republican. That's all he is.
Yeah. All right. Senator Mitch McLiplis, let's skip to him. Mitch McConnell, Republican of Kentucky. Yertle.
We're averaging about $4 billion a day in debt this year.
and Democrats want to cut $4.7 billion and call it a day. That's their idea of getting serious.
Your list concerned generally about the his
the speed of things.
Yes, the things are always moving too fast for Yertle.
Yes, moving too much too fast for me. I prefer to just take my time and wait for the rest of you to die because I have a lifespan of over 300 years.
An Alan Simpson story moves too fast for your life. Slow down, young man. 58 minutes after the hour, back with comedian Kathleen Madigan, our favorite.
Cool.
Next on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
The Stephanie Miller Show, 6 minutes after the hour. Hello, Ustream. Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. That's right, we're video streaming live. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris LeBoy, voice deity Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Jim is making funny faces. Why? I don't know what you're doing over there. He's mugging for the Ustream.
I'm acknowledging
cameras.
The Ustream.
Oh, okay. All right, thank you. It's so confusing and befuddling,
didn't
this whole
obscene.
New media thing, the whole radio with cameras.
Sure. And the whole social media thing, which you don't get at all.
Sure I do.
I'm into the anti-social media.
Jim's part of the anti-social media, okay. Exactly. Uh-huh. All right. You know, our very personal favorite comedian, I think you know, well, we have so many.
Yeah.
But we have one true love, and that is Kathleen Madigan. Her new DVD is out, Gone Madigan. Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. How are you guys?
I'm winning, duh.
We're winning, duh.
Okay, good.
Are you watching every Charlie Sheen outburst or just some of them?
God, I've now become so accustomed to him just being insane, I actually drifted out. Like in the middle of one of them where he's going completely crazy and then he compared himself to Errol Flynn. I'm like, really? You're going to use that reference? Who's next, Fatty Arbuckle? What are you talking about?
Yeah.
And they say, you know, Martin Sheen, we haven't heard from Martin Sheen. If I was Martin Sheen, I would have quit speaking to him 20 years ago. Even if he was my son, I would have lost my cell phone on purpose so that man could not contact me. He's crazy.
Yeah, it's wow. I mean, it really has it jumped the shark quite a few videos ago. I love his latest thing. He's saying his podcasts are just shtick after discovering that they're going to be used in evidence in court for his.
That's hilarious, Charlie. It's going to be really hilarious to a judge. I don't know if you've met any judges, but
it will be soon.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a really good move. God,
I know, Kathleen. You've been in several times, and yet I had never read in your bio that your dream is to retire in Ireland and drink Guinness and pet your sheepdogs.
I want to be a sheep farmer because I always try to think of a job that's easier than comedy, and the only one I can come up with is sheep farmer. Because the dogs go and get the sheep.
Right,
right.
So all I got to do is feed the dog.
And drink Guinness. Exactly.
Correct, on the porch, and then watch the dog go get the sheep, bring them down, and put them in the thing, and I'm done. That's the whole day's work. Yes, because the Guinness in America is not as good as
the
Guinness in Ireland.
Not to get it out the source.
Yeah, it doesn't travel well.
That's right.
You know, then they tried to put that thing in the bottom of the can.
Right, right.
That didn't work.
Yeah. It was like a little ball or something, wasn't it?
It was. All it did was take up space where more Guinness could have been.
Exactly. So it was a big waste.
You're totally stupid.
You're a good Irish gal.
No monster.
You're a committed drinker, and that's what I like best about you.
I am a committed drinker. I would say almost professional. I went on a cruise ship because Lewis Black made me go on this comedy cruise, and every day they put your bill on TV, and that's when you can really realize how much of an alcoholic you are. You roll over in the morning, and the TV, you're looking at it, and I'm like, really, Kathleen? 14 margaritas and a dolphin ride?
And the number for AA is right up there after you hit a certain... Yeah.
And then I'm checking out on Sunday thinking, maybe I'm an alcoholic. Well, let's give it 5 more years, Kathleen. Let's not rush to judgment.
Let's not be so judgmental. You just watch a Charlie Sheen video and go, oh, I'm not even vaguely there yet.
I haven't even thought of crack.
It really takes the edge off the booze, yeah.
Yeah. There's no crazy goddess hookers running around this house. There's no pimp people. I'm fine.
It's a new bar for normal in Hollywood.
Yes.
Now, Kathleen, speaking of lazy comedians, my other favorite thing is that you said that you sometimes write for only other people, but only if you're allowed to smoke and do it in your pajamas.
Yeah, I'm not going in an office. You know, like sometimes, like I've been offered jobs or like, you know, do you want to write monologue jokes for Jay? No, because then I have to drive to Burbank and look presentable. No, I will write for Gary Shandling because he'll let me stay home and just lay in my bed and chain smoke and write things. Perfect.
You know, great writers like you and Rick Overton, you get those deals.
Lewis Black will let me sit around in my pajamas and do whatever I want as long as the jokes arrive on time, which they do. So I don't know why everybody else can't get on board with that. Why do I have to go mess up more traffic in this town?
Right.
Well, it's like we were just talking about the cameras in the studio and radio. That used to be the whole point of doing radio, is you could look like crap and show up.
Right,
and
I still forget that you guys have them. I still walk in looking like crap.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, right.
We all do.
Me too.
Oh, right. It's the future. I forgot.
Yeah, remember, Chris, I tried to hold out, actually, for the first, you know, couple of years. I'm like, no, I need TV, hair, and makeup. I'm not, whatever. Now I'm like, oh, who cares? Now I pick my nose,
you
my
know
teeth.
What?
I don't care.
Webcams
my baseball hat on.
Webcams don't pick up bad makeup. They don't pick, they're pixelated. They don't pick up anything.
Good.
That's good. And even like all this high def, like Blu-ray stuff, I'm like, I don't want to be in Blu-ray. I want to go back to like the 40s where it's dim lighting and black and white. Maybe some candles. That's sexy. No, I'm trying to keep the clock right at 35. We don't need to be showing how old I really am.
Yeah. You know, I love this. I love this story.
I'm a fan of the Blu-ray.
Yeah, exactly. I love this story because I know you travel a lot, but Cyndi Lauper, apparently she was stuck in an airport in Buenos Aires, and she grabbed the public address microphone and sang Girls Just Want to Have Fun.
Good for her.
Yeah.
I don't know why more people don't do that.
Was she arrested and wrestled to the ground?
No, the video of the spontaneous performance was recorded. It's been...
Good.
Attracted millions of viewers on the interwebs. Apparently, the travelers and airport workers sang along. Wouldn't that be awesome if you did stuff from Gone Madigan? You could just grab a microphone and start doing
pennies from heaven.
I was actually one of the flight attendants. So where was I flying to? New York last week. She knew. Or no, I was coming back, and she knew who I was. And she's like, maybe you could just get up and do like a tight 10. The fact that she said tight 10, I'm like, do you work in a comedy club? How do you know that language? A tight 10.
Don't you love it would be better than the flight attendants that think they're comedians. Don't you enjoy those?
My God, the Southwest ones.
Yes.
We have a birthday on the plane, and the person is 105. How about a big round of applause for the pilot?
Captain Alan Simpson.
The people laugh, and that eggs them on. You got to stop laughing if you want it to stop, people.
That's true.
You gotta stop.
We'll be flying by famous Albert Falls. Oh, wait, I screwed it up. Wait.
Oh, wait, I have one more airline story for you, Kathleen. I don't know if this has happened to you. I'm sure pretty much everything has happened to you on a plane at some point or another. Passenger fondles woman on a plane, then karate chops the air marshal who came to her aid.
Wow.
A man on a flight from Paris to Atlanta has been charged in federal court with sexually assaulting a passenger, then karate chopping a federal
Steven
sky.
Boy, Steven Seagal really has fallen out.
I would let that person off because who karate chops?
Look, wow. That's like a high karate commercial.
People always say, I'm taking karate. And I'm like, yeah, but where are you going to do that? Have you ever been in a bar fight where somebody busted out karate? No. That person gets extra points in my book just for busting out karate because I find it a completely useless martial art because you can't use it.
I love this part of the story. He awoke a sleeping female passenger by fondling her and indicated that he needed some sex.
Well, you know, I wish someone would do that to me on a plane.
Just to make the time go by.
This six-hour flight from home from Miami, if I fall asleep, somebody please fondle me. That
okay.
would be great.
You know, Kathleen, I'm predicting you're going to have some rough flights
some
coming
yeah.
up because you just said that on national radio. What? You said on the Stephanie Miller Show that you wanted it.
Can we please play the tape back, Your Honor? Here she is saying.
I just love that he assumed that was her responsibility. Listen, I need sex and I need it now. And you happen to be next to me, so. Hey, Vay. All right. Kathleen, what else? So what else is catching your attention in the news these days?
Well, you know, the Egypt uprising. Okay,
yeah.
How do you not fire Anderson Cooper? You're hiding under a bed because somebody punched you in the head. Really, Anderson? Get out. Christiane Amanpour is out there punching people in the face right now.
Yes.
That's what I said.
It's unbelievable to me. Where he's like, I'm hiding in a disclosed location. Why are you hiding? You're the reporter. There's a revolution going on. Get up.
I think Christiane Amanpour is the last person to use a karate chop on television when some unfortunate.
And my favorite thing all year on TV so far this year, I got to give the prize to the guy in Egypt who saddled up the camel. That guy is my drunk brother Joe, the guy who takes it one step too far.
I know. I'm going to get a camel.
Wait a minute. We're having a revolution. I've waited 100 years for this. I'm saddling up a camel. What?
And we were saying, like, where do you get a machete at that short notice?
I don't know. It was like all of a sudden we were watching a Lawrence of Arabia. And it's like, this is why the stereotype keeps going, people. Put away the camels. Stop it.
By the way, now that I just said that, I realized that didn't Charlie Sheen just appear with a machete on a rooftop somewhere? How is he going to top himself? I don't. What do you do after that? He's got to get a camel.
Yeah, I think once you bust out the machete, you're done. That's it. You're over. You got to stop making videos because you're now just going to go downhill.
The only way you can jump the shark is with a camel. All right. Kathleen Madigan, the DVD, of course, is Gone Madigan, which we love.
And the special is going to be on CMT tomorrow.
Oh, fabulous.
That's right.
Tomorrow, and then on Saturday night, they're showing mine on Saturday to the hour, but then there's the Ron White salute to the troops, and it's me, Louis Black, and Ron White, and the money goes to Walter Reed. But I said to Lou, I'm like, Lou, I don't want to say there's a lot of pressure on you, but I think you're the first Jew ever on CMT.
On CMT, yeah.
Wow.
The website is KathleenMadigan.com. We love you, honey. Talk to you soon.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right,
yay.
There she goes.
I'm not wearing a cowboy hat. Not going to happen.
Although CMT is kind of dropping the country music from its name, and they're going a little rural, but not quite country.
RMT. Okay.
Yeah.
I bet you Kinky Friedman's been on there. So maybe the word Jew has been on there. Just saying that, you know, they ain't making Jews like Jews.
Yeah.
18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Join the party. 1-800-STEPH-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Snoopy Poopy.
Everybody get on the floor. 22 minutes after the hour. Wow! A big show tomorrow. Carl Frisch, David Bender, Senator Debbie Stabenow, and Representative Diana DeGette.
Yep.
All coming up on the big show tomorrow.
Holy cow.
Holy
and also on Friday.
Shmoly. Yes?
Sigourney Weaver.
Oh, that's right. To talk about Prayers for Bobby, that fabulous movie. It'll be re-airing on Lifetime.
Yep.
All right. And we are going to make her say,
"Get away from her, you bitch."
All right. Bob writes, Steph, you've been talking about Fox News reporting the sum of $7.5 million to clean the Wisconsin Capitol. That's how much Halliburton would charge, and they'd electrocute a few union workers for no extra charge.
Right.
Thank you, Bob. That's true. They would throw that in for nothing, as they often do. Scott in Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Scott.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Great show. Love the show. Keep it up.
Thank you.
So,
me too. Thanks.
I just wanted to say, and not to beat a dead horse, only half of that prank phone call was a prank.
That's right. Yeah, unlike the stupid James O'Keefe skits. I mean, this was an actually brilliant political activism, the fake David Koch brother. Let's go to Jim in Denver on Kathleen Madigan, our favorite. Hello, Jim.
Hi, how you doing?
Good.
Hey,
First of all, I got to get on you guys. We got to get you guys in Denver. I'm listening to you through my computer on the Phoenix station.
Yeah, we got to get on in Denver. We love Denver, the city by the bay. What the hell?
We love you, Denver! City by the bay!
What the hell?
Hey, I think you guys were just talking to Charlie Sheen's replacement for Two and a Half Men.
I know. Isn't she hilarious?
She's fantastic. Every time she comes into town, I love to see her. But, she could be the black sheep bastard stepdaughter that nobody knew about since that mom on that show was such a
triumph.
Yeah.
Wow. She'd just sit there smoking in her pajamas the whole show and be hilarious.
That's a great
Absolutely.
Idea.
And Alan could hit on her.
There you go. There you go. All right. Julie writes, Mom, allow me to go all Ron Paul on your ass for a moment. According to the Washington Post, there are Congress people leaning on Obama to intervene militarily in the desert, Middle Eastern hellhole, desert wasteland of Libya.
Shuck it all.
Wargasm, Operation Stupid Eagle with no underpants. Let's go.
Operation.
What is it called?
Stupid Eagle? No.
Commando Eagle. Operation Commando Eagle. It's an eagle without underpants.
Yes. Boy, howdy.
Sunday.
Good Lord and butter, as Rummy would say. Let's hope he ignores them. With 20-odd countries churning in revolution from Africa to Iran already, the last thing we need to do is set this precedent that the U.S. is ready to intervene in popular uprisings where the dictator in question goes brutal on the population. P.S. Thank you, God, Grampy's not president right now. We'd already be in two or three
policy.
Or four
it's
of these
the
awful
policy.
Messes.
It is a policy.
Oh, point out to your Obama apologist accusers this morning. You have my permission to whack both of them on the head with your show prep. Oh, why, thank you. I would do that.
That wouldn't do a whole lot of damage with them.
Although she prints out enough stuff to kill a tree, so.
Mm. Who does?
You do.
I do.
No, actually, I do.
Mm. All right. That crazy Michelle Bachmann on the budget battle. Michelle Bachmann on the House floor.
Our position is this. Obama, Pelosi, and Reid should give that money back. $105 billion.
What?
We Republicans identified $61 billion in cuts off of the 2010 budget. We're saying we're working hard to get a few cuts, and you've already spent $105 billion and you didn't tell us. What? Give that money back, then we'll talk about the budget.
What is she talking about?
I don't know. Did she have her prop with her? Did she have that placard with the number on it? That was so compelling on Meet the Press.
See, 105 million or trillion or something.
She's like the Carrot Top of Congress. Uh-oh. The headline is Michelle Bachmann bumps Sarah Palin as Tea Party Queen.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. You better look out.
The girl VP's got a gun!
You better watch it, biatch!
Everybody run. Beauty Queen's got a gun.
I love this piece in the Washington Post. Michelle Bachmann is pushing Sarah Palin off her throne as queen of the Tea Party. This considered opinion comes after watching her on Meet the Press. She's relentlessly on message. Her main talking point was about that secret, unbeknownst to members of Congress, over $105 billion was hidden in there in the Obamacare legislation to fund implementation of Obamacare. I think she gets the record from a number of times that someone said Obamacare.
Yeah.
Yeah. No matter the question asked, will there be a government shutdown? Has Speaker Boehner failed the Tea Party? She came back to that $105 billion.
Mm-hmm.
Secreted away.
And yet, when George Bush didn't pay for two wars, that was not a big deal.
But I love the post as the other thing notable about Bachmann's answers is their economy of words. Unlike Palin, she doesn't lard them with extraneous information that fail to make her sound smarter than you think she is.
Also, two in addition, Sputnik.
What are you, in a trance? You just keep repeating the same thing.
Let's try the Sarah Palin word salad. It's yummy. Put some dressing on it.
Ranch.
And she has props, as they point out in the Washington Post. She has dabbled in the Obama's a secret Muslim and non-citizen nonsense, but Bachmann has been known to buttress her Tea Party view of the world by sharing her selective knowledge of our nation's founding.
Yeah.
I mean, she's just as dumb as Sarah Palin. It's just she's more on message, is what the Washington Post is saying. She does something Palin has never done. She doesn't hide behind her filter or filter her views through Twitter, Facebook, and Fox News. That's true. She subjects herself to interviews with David Gregory, Chris Matthews, and others, which makes for entertaining television.
Didn't she used to do that in the nude? I wish she would,
No, that's
that,
radio interviews with right-wing.
Oh, radio. Yeah. Right-wing radio.
Okay. Yeah.
While her husband was picking out her clothes for her.
Pantsuit.
What are you inferring, bastard person?
I'm implying. I'm not inferring.
Uh-huh. I see. That's entirely different.
And I'll tell you why I can't put up with you people, because you're bastard people.
Although I would have to infer it before I implied it. So
yes,
I guess
yes. Either way, I think we understand your point. All right. By the way, so the McCarthy, I'm sorry, what are they called? Peter King hearings.
Yes.
The please prove you're not a Muslim terrorist?
I have a list of 200 Muslims in the government.
Yeah, it's the please prove to me that you've never even thought of blowing something up before.
Yes, yes. We will be investigating thought bubbles. Anyway, we are talking to somebody from the, I'm not even going to pronounce, I have to get a phonetic thing. The director of the Council on American Islamic Relations joins us next to talk about that on the Stephanie Miller Show.
I didn't get you into too much trouble.
Stephanie Miller.
No, I'll be around. I need these voiceover checks to support my gambling addiction.
34 minutes after the hour. Looky here. Frasier says, Steph, watching you live right now on Ustream from Edinburgh, Scotland.
Edinburgh.
Howdy do. Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Howdy. Hey. Why, not since I performed at the Edinburgh Festival in Scotland have I been so excited. When I did my, you know, my line.
Your
in Streetcar Named Desire.
What was that?
Blanche, it's time to go.
Okay, I was doing it, but all right, thanks, Jim. Right. Jim, you probably did
that
better
than I did. That was dramatic pause, Jim.
Oh, yeah. I see.
I was getting into character.
Oh, all right.
Thanks.
But you know what? Dramatic pause doesn't work very well on the radio.
No.
Okay. It's just dead air.
Yeah.
All right. So, Representative Peter King's Please Prove to Us That You're Not a Muslim Terrorist hearings start tomorrow.
Yes.
They're the McCarthy hearings all over again. So we reached out to somebody from CARE, which is the Southern California version of the Council on American Islamic Relations. Hussam Alush joins us now. Good morning, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie, for having me on the show.
Thanks so much for coming on. Well, you know, even when we just started hearing about these hearings, my producer here said, ooh, that sounds creepy and McCarthy-esque. And I think it really is going to be as creepy and McCarthy-esque as we think it is, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It certainly is. Targeting, singling out any one community to investigate radicalism or extremism is obviously unfair, and it is. It brings us back to the 50s, to the McCarthy era, and we intend to expose that witch hunt.
Well, I mean, I was glad that the Obama White House reached out before, you know, the news of this to say, you know, to Muslims, you are part of the solution, not the problem. Because I think, you know, again, it just it makes us once again look bad to the Muslim community, right?
Absolutely. And this is not just President Obama. I mean, you speak to any leader in the law enforcement industry and field, from the FBI to sheriff department to police department, all of them say almost unanimously that the cooperation from the Muslim community has been remarkable. American Muslims, like all Americans, do what they can do to protect their nation. American Muslims don't have more duty than anybody else. We're not trained to be law enforcement people, but like anybody else, if we come across someone who's planning to harm our country, we would be the first ones to report these people. That is why the whole premise of this hearing or witch hunt is unacceptable. Because again, it's saying that we expect from American Muslims something different than what we expect from Irish Americans or German Americans or Jewish Americans and so on. And that is not acceptable. That is discrimination.
Funny you bring up Irish Americans because, as you know, Peter King was a big supporter of the IRA and their terrorist tactics.
Well, I guess that's the selectiveness of his. I mean, and the thing is, it's an agenda-driven thing. I mean, this is not new. It's not surprising. Anyone who knows Peter King knows that he's the one with the famous quote, there are too many mosques in this country. He's the one who said 80 to 85% of mosques in America are controlled by fundamentalists. He's the one who said.
And that's an outright lie.
Well,
oh, absolutely.
And
absolutely.
By the way, I heard your organization is going to be going to challenge him to offer facts to back up his claims that, what did he say, 85% of mosques are run by radicals?
That's what he said. And, of course, it's totally, completely a lie, not even close in any way, shape, or form. These mosques, like any religious place in America, preach peace, spirituality, family values. People go there to reconnect with God and with their spiritual life and all of that. But the problem is it's an agenda-driven process, and it seems it's very popular among some voters. And there's a segment within the GOP that is intent on using the American Muslim community as a punching bag or maybe a stepping stone towards getting some more votes from their right-wing nuts At the expense of the safety, at the expense of the well-being of the Muslim community. Because what happens, this is not just another hearing that we can ignore. This is not just another idiot shouting somewhere else. The problem is what it does, it stigmatizes American Muslims. And average people in America today start doubting if a member of Congress is holding a hearing to question the extent of radicalism within American Muslims or to question the level or degree of cooperation between American Muslims and law enforcement. Some people might believe that and say, oh, wait a minute, can we ever trust Muslims? And we've seen it. We just a couple of days ago, 2 days ago, two Sikh men were attacked. And they're not even Muslim, but because they wear the turban, obviously racist people are not always the people with the highest IQ, they attacked them and one of them was killed. And it turned out to be a hate crime.
Well, you know, it seems to me Peter King should have just read the report on the Fort Hood tragedy where, you know, it urges cooperation with the Muslim community and not targeting like this. I mean, this is exactly the point the White House was trying to make that, you know, but let's take the Ground Zero Mosque, for instance, quote unquote. I mean, you know, it seems like that's exactly, in a way, would be actually absolutely fitting to be there because that was part of this, you know, moderate, preaching this moderate form of Islam that would be part of the solution.
Well, to people like Peter King and his likes, you know, we see it with Tea Party protests now against the construction of any mosque in America. Any Muslim is a threat to America for them because anyone who's different than what they are is a threat. And as I said, sometimes it's not as ideological as it seems. Sometimes, as I said, it's just politically convenient. Because it is okay to victimize that group. Because, you know, maybe years ago it was okay to victimize for them the African-American community or Latino community or immigrant community or Jewish community. Now they think, you know, the path of least resistance with the highest level of scoring is to target American Muslims, especially by playing politics with the issue of a very serious issue, and that is national security. I mean, there's no doubt about it. Terrorism is real, and we have to all be alert, vigilant, but it's not acceptable to play politics with this thing.
Hussam, what have you heard about, we were doing a story earlier about the people that are going to be testifying, that apparently, you know, some of these anti-Islamic activists that are advising Peter King, of, you know, he's using all Muslims so that the media can't accuse him, of course, of being Islamophobic. What have you heard about the kind of, you know, witnesses he's going to have and what they're going to testify to?
Well, he's stacking the deck, basically, with people who would reinforce what he's saying. I mean, in every community there are always people. I mean, just because someone is Catholic does not mean that person would stand by what the Catholic community stands for. I mean, for every community there are people who are either self-serving, misinformed, who knows what. But in this case, he's inviting someone who Dr. Zuhdi Jasser, who has been the head of an organization that I think he and two other members maybe are members of, which has absolutely no depth within the Muslim community. But he's entitled to have an organization. That's fine with us. But we want to make sure that that perspective is at least given the right weight in the community. That perspective has little weight in the community, and it has to be made clear. And as I said, the issue is not about having or holding hearings to address the threat of terrorism. What is not acceptable is to single out one community in a way that almost to say that we don't have any radicalism. We don't have the Jared Lofners of the world. We don't have Columbines. We don't have Virginia Tech attacks. We don't have, you know, just 2 years ago, I think in 2009, I think, let's go even further. Since 9/11, there has been 150,000 murders reported in America, according to the FBI. You know how many people have died due to as a cause of terrorism? 33. I mean, everyone is too many, no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But we have to put things in perspective and not treat Muslims as a threat to the other.
How many Muslims are there in the world?
There are about 1.6 billion.
So that seems a good idea to just go to war with all Muslims, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, if you depend on money from defense contractors, it is a very good idea.
Yeah. Hussam Alush of the Council on am I going to screw that up? Council on American Islamic Relations for Southern California. Thanks so much for your time
this
morning.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's a great honor to be on your show and to be with such an intelligent host.
Oh, thank you, Hussam. Oh my goodness, he doesn't listen. Okay. thank God, we wouldn't get any bookings. Yeah, Newt Gingrich, Jim, frankly.
Perfect.
Speaking of which, he says the U.S. should go to war with Libya this evening.
I guess he meant
last night.
Yeah, yesterday. Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yes.
We need to start dropping bombs on every major city.
Did he give a reason?
World, frankly.
Because he's Newt Gingrich.
Oh.
A little preview into a President Gingrich.
Frankly, we don't have enough wars going on now.
I actually bring up the story because he did say frankly several times.
Frankly.
Yes, like clockwork conservatives. Oh, you know, they've been taking the Dick Cheney phrase. He's dithering on
dithering.
Libya. See, if you don't just immediately, you're dithering. You don't just, you know.
Blow crap up immediately,
yes.
Then. Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha.
John McCain said the U.S. should establish a no-fly zone. People just throw that around like that's, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it's easy.
Yeah. Yeah. And by the way, last time he flew a plane, didn't he have like a you know, a jaunty scarf and a...
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Because he was in
helmet.
The back of the plane.
he flew a sop with camel, didn't he?
Sop with camel?
Yeah. Anyway, he said, with or without UN or NATO support, a move tantamount to war, according to Defense Secretary Robert Gates. On Fox News, Newt Gingrich went even further, saying he wants the U.S. to go into Libya with guns blazing this evening.
Yeah, why don't you go ahead?
And the U.S. should go alone because NATO won't bring much to the fight, frankly.
Frankly.
And frankly.
Frankly, we want the world to hate us even more than they already do, frankly.
It says it right there, frankly. We don't need to have NATO who.
Frankly. Oh.
Frankly.
Won't bring much to the fight. Yeah. All we need to do is suppress their air force. I love these military experts. Yeah.
Yeah,
like
he's
that.
The guy who got college deferment so we wouldn't have to go to Vietnam.
Yeah, he never was in the military, was
no.
he?
No.
Oh, okay.
Check this out, which we could do in minutes. Apparently, we could do
really?
That in minutes if we wanted to, says military expert Newt Gingrich. While Gingrich thinks the U.S. military could clean up the situation in Libya in minutes, the reality... Yeah, like remember Rumsfeld said it's going to take maybe 6 minutes, maybe 6 months in Iraq?
Yeah.
Be there,
he
maybe doubts. Yeah.
10 minutes, half an hour.
I doubt
very much.
You don't even have to put that much
for...
money in the meter.
You're not even,
being
you don't even get our hair mussed.
They like going to the laundromat.
Cheese and crackers. The reality a bit
spin
more...
cycle, you're done.
If you are CENTCOM Commander General James Mathis, he urges thoughtful action design with an endgame firmly in mind, such as leaving all options on the table, including military action, building a legitimate international coalition, explaining the best course of action to the American people. Exactly what President Obama is doing, mm-hmm. ironically enough. We are currently flying intelligence missions over Libya. The U.S. has been providing humanitarian assistance for weeks. The president said we've got NATO, as we speak, consulting in Brussels around a wide range of potential options, including potential military options. Meanwhile, France and Britain currently working in the UN to get a resolution authorizing a no-fly zone in Libya. I think at this point there is a sense that any action should be the result of international sanction. Have we not learned our lesson yet?
Frankly, we should just go in by ourselves and start blowing stuff up, frankly.
Yeah. American bombers without any allied assistance would be on their way to bomb Libya right now if...
And kill a bunch of civilians in the process.
Yep.
Yes.
Great.
If history... Wasn't he a history? History professor?
Perfect.
Not a very good one, apparently.
Love of God. You are an idiot. Yes. What could go wrong there? That sounds like a wise plan.
Mm.
All right. 46 minutes after the hour, celebrity stack and much more as we continue on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie. I get it because, what do you call it? Frasier's calling from Scotland, who's watching us
That's
on
right.
Ustream. Ustream.tv/Stephanie Miller. Hello, Frasier.
Hi, how's it going?
Good.
I actually stumbled across your show very randomly on Ustream, so I thought, oh, I'll give you a call. get a bit of chat, you know.
Frasier, who thought of haggis and how drunk were they?
Sorry, say that again?
Haggis.
Who thought that would be good to eat? Goat brains or whatever it is, sheep intestines.
Sheep stomach, actually. It's actually really nice. It's a cross between couscous and... Oh, crutch, I think it was something else. It's very nice, though.
No, it's not a cross between couscous and anything. It's disgusting, Fraser. No offense.
And you know what they also eat in Scotland?
What?
Deep-fried Mars bars.
Very true.
You're, are you? Do you all look like fat bastard over there?
No. There's a lot of them. I might admit that. There's a lot of them, but not me. No.
All right, Fraser. Thanks for watching us on Ustream and thanks for listening. Okay.
All the best. Take care.
All right. Bye. I didn't want to run up his phone bill for God's sake.
That's long distance.
Yes. Chris in Yankton writes, I guess I was talking about, because that's how I know I'm old, because I take my shoes to be repaired.
Yes.
Because I needed a heel for my shoe.
I don't think I've ever taken a shoe to be repaired. I just get a new shoe.
No, and Chris also says, I love those odd little shoe repair places too, Steph. The proprietors usually look like Billy Crystal's character in The Princess Bride. They do. They do. Oh, Lordy. All right. Oh, you know what? I was reading this story in the New York Times this weekend. And I can, because, you know, I went to a shrink recently because, well.
You're crazy.
Do I need to? Yeah. Anyway, I thought this is a real testament, this story, to what's happening in our healthcare system. Because remember, I was there for like 5 minutes and she's like, oh, you need these pills. And I was like, well, I'm just. A little depressed personally, and I have a you need these pills. And she kept trying to push these pills on me, anti-anxiety something.
Sure.
But this is what the story in the New York Times is. Where is it? Along with his psychiatrist, the patient confided his newborn had serious health problems. His distraught wife was screaming at him. He'd started drinking again with his life and second marriage falling apart. He said he needed help. The psychiatrist stopped him and said, I'm not your therapist. I could adjust your medications, but I don't think that's appropriate.
That's right.
Like many of the nation's 48,000 psychiatrists, in large part because of changes in how much insurance will pay, no longer provides talk therapy. How about that for where we're going in this country? The form of psychiatry popularized by Sigmund Freud, instead he prescribes medication, usually after a brief consultation with each patient. So this is like the norm, and I didn't even know that.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, I don't want pills. Because you know me, I'm a drunk, that's for sure, but I'm a wino, technically.
Yeah. I think it was in 2000.
But I've never even smoked pot. I don't take drugs. I was like, what? I don't know.
In 2001, when I first went to go see, a psychiatrist is the one who prescribes pills.
That's the pill pusher.
Yeah. Here, take these. And it turns out that the pills I was taking caused liver damage.
Oh.
And so they've been taken off the market.
Now you're depressed, aren't you?
Yeah. Now I am.
Now a warning? Now? Anyway, so he sent him away with a referral for a less costly therapist and a personal crisis unexplored and unresolved. Medicine is rapidly changing in the U.S. from New York Times, from a cottage industry to one dominated by large hospital groups and corporations. But the new efficiencies can be accompanied by a telling loss of intimacy between doctors and patients, and no specialty has suffered this loss more than psychiatry.
Yep.
I mean, he was talking about when he started in 72, talk therapy in its heyday. He treated maybe 50 to 60 patients once a week, and now it's like a conveyor belt, basically, he's saying. It's like he doesn't even know the people. They're just in and out, and here's your pills.
They were 15-minute appointments.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. They're just, I've never been to a psychiatrist, and I know you're thinking, well, that was long overdue, first of all.
Well, I could have told you that.
He literally says, confesses he can't even remember their names half the time. It's just, Anyway, I'm disturbed even by the commercials on TV for the, you know what I'm saying.
Hey, loser. Yeah, you. Slouched in front of the TV at 3 a.m. with your hand down your pants and stuffing Cheetos in your face. Wouldn't you like to be more like these shiny, happy people? Hello, I'm Bob. 2 years ago, after my entire family were killed in a tragic lawn dart accident, and I was dragged 6 miles by a runaway train and lost all my limbs, I was very depressed. But now, since Prozac, I'm happy all the time. Happy, happy, happy. I am so friggin' happy. Prozac.
Where life is beautiful all the time, and I'll be happy to see those nice young men in their clean white coats, and they're coming to take me away.
Prozac, the happy meal for the mind.
Up, up with people. They're the best kind of people I know.
Wow.
Some dated references in that, but Jim had to leave early, so we played an old bit.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that was when they first started advertising for Prozac.
Yeah. That's when Prozac, I think, first came out, actually.
All right. Karen and Madison, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome. Hi, Karen. And now I'm on Charlie Sheen. Yes, Karen.
Because you're almost out of time. Okay. I want to say I'm happy you're feeling better.
And thank
then
you.
I wanted to shed some light on our state debt. And this is in response to Scott Fitzgerald, who said it was all the Democratic governor's fault.
Oh,
not
please.
Two. Basically, we had two Republican governors, Tommy Thompson, Scott McCallum. They racked up $4 billion of debt. That got passed down to our previous Democratic governor, Doyle. And he managed to balance his budget over 8 years, and he tried to get the debt down from the two previous Republican governors. And he did a little bit, down to $3 billion. And it could have gone down to $2 billion if Walker had followed his budget plan. At any rate, here again, just like the federal government, we've got a state government that was upset financially by Republican administration. So, you know, their business of calling themselves fiscally responsible is totally out of line.
Thank you. Thank you, honey. All right, out of time. But, the stuff is still going on in Madison. Stay strong. Solidarity. It's a movement. It's the, it's Main Street movement. It's got a name. All right, that's it for us. Don't forget tomorrow, Carl Frisch, David Bender, Senator Debbie Stabenow, and Representative Diana DeGette. We will see you then on the Stephanie Miller Show.